skater to the Estevots, and which was quite good because it's kind of tied in very, very well with my own personal sort of the way that I was developing as a child, and also with the way that my family line on my mother's side and my father's side would see our path.
Right. Yeah.
And so this is how I ended up in Anglesey, becoming part of the Estevas and the Uncle Seth.
Yeah, and so, but you were also talking about your paternal lineage, so can you tell us a little bit more about your paternal
lineage, my mother, on my mother's, both her side, a father and a mother. My mother was given her naming ceremony in Pontypool Stone Circle when it was erected back in 1922.
Oh my goodness.
And this was part of the Druidic Gorseth in South Wales. And on my father's side, his mother was a Roma, Romani, and they travelled and hence I kept very, very old traditions that come where they weren't as a lot of Roma are very, very, you could say, Christian religion, but they were kind of a bit of an exception really because they were completely the not. And so my grandmother was the old time fortune teller, spirit reader, and also a concoctor of spells, as you would be referred to back at the time. These days, where witchcraft is legal, we would say a witch.
Right, exactly. But this, like you're just saying, apart from being very local, of course, there were particular laws in the UK which were still evident until 1951. So from what I understand as well, it's still very, very local, and that seems to be the case in your family. Do you know? So you're talking about the Portland, the island, which is actually just off the from, is it across from Weymouth? Or?
That's right. Yeah. It's a causeway. Mm-hmm. It used to be cut off by the sea, but during a great storm. It built a bit of a dunbar there, which created a causeway, and then they built on that. And so now there's a road that goes across to it. Commonly referred to as the Isle of Witches, mainly because back in 1814, a witch's temple was set up there called Conjurer's Lodge.
Wow.
And this was quite a unique thing at the time. If you imagine, in 1814, is when the pastor of the local church on the island said to his congregation, which was all about 64, 68 people at the time, and that they had to denounce all this ideas of witchcraft and magic and spell workings and talking to spirits and things. And so, denounce it. Well, what they did, this whole congregation, as known, of 64 members, stood up and walked out.
Wow!
Because they weren't giving it up.
No.
Which is actually quite a phenomenal thing. If you think 1814 in old England, for that to happen, and on the bottom of the island, you'll find a stone building there. I don't think they didn't erect the stone building. The building was already there, I think, because I would say that's probably hundreds of years old. But they then took this building over, and it became their church.
Okay.
It was a witch's church. It was a witch's temple, and it still holds the same name that they gave it, which is called Conjurer's Lodge. And it's still there's a plaque on the doors of this building now, which, sadly enough, it's a builder's store now, but that's where they went to work and worship.
Right.
Portland's got a really, really old heritage of probably thousands of years. It's got a 9,000-year-old known or 10,000-year-old known occupation.
That's amazing.
And
isn't it?
Yeah. So the witchcraft has actually gone right the way through. It's such a fantastic lineage to the old ancient ways.
Exactly. Which is where, of course, I take my roots from as well. Although having lived in the Netherlands for more than 40 years now, it's interesting. So, was it out of this kind of background, just jumping a little bit further ahead to your musical career, how did you get involved with the music side of things?
I always, my mother was a great musician and songwriter, and and so through her, I credit all of my musical ability, and I've never known anything else. Probably can't do anything else, you know. Like sort of being only 60 years old now, like all I've ever done in my life is play music and and gig. I've never done anything else. You know, that's so. From the age of small, I've always sung. I've always played the guitar, and also. Growing up like in rural Anglesey at the time, with a lot of Irish travellers who would come across from Strathfield Island, and so as they used to sort of come off the boat, they used to be making up their camps, and I used to be spending a lot of time around these, like when I was a child. And so I was also, this is how I learned that sort of Celtic folk music, to feel it, to understand it, you know. It's I was kind of brought up with it, really. Yeah.
When did you start feeling that the esoteric or the more mystical side of your family background, when did that become more conscious?
That became conscious before I'd even moved to Wales. I have a very direct and focused memory for events, places and things in my life that make a difference. And before I moved to Wales, I really became totally focused and aware of a spiritual world when I walked into a new little cottage that my mum and dad, because they were together then, had bought on Clements Lane. Which, funny enough, Clements Lane is a very, very short lane, and at the end of the lane is Conjurer's Lodge.
Okay.
And as we were moving bags and things into the cottage, I remember excitedly running up the stairs, and in the bedroom, the front bedroom, I think there was only two bedrooms, with a back bedroom and the front bedroom. Mm-hmm. And in the front bedroom, I was the first one to sort of go into it. And I would probably have only been about 5 to 6 years old then. Mm. But I could feel that I wasn't the only one in the room. I knew there was something else. I could feel it. Mm. And from there on, I would say that... Nothing has changed, like, sort of for the rest of my life, because those feelings and sensations and awarenesses became stronger and more focused, and obviously with knowledge and understanding. So I would say, in answer to the question, I always have been. It's never been outside me. I always feel it. And I've never felt alone in my life.
Yeah, I can relate to that very, very much. I think there's something about, I don't know whether it's the English or, I always say we have this kind of eccentricity about us, which leads us to all kind of weird places. But when did you feel at a given point that it needed to be more formalised, or how did you actually continue? Because if you have a feeling, then how did you manage to be able to convey that to other people, for example?
Considering that sort of coming through the 70s and moving towards that very sad time of fashion called the 80s, the witchcraft, as my family tradition is witchcraft, was still very much frowned upon. There's a lot of people pioneering the craft. But at the same time, it was still very much frowned upon.
Absolutely.
And it was sort of, so although they couldn't burn us, they they could actually make life very, very difficult. And so a lot of covens, well, actually, I would know, like sort of remained underground.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was in these underground covens, which I guess I probably became a major, not a figurehead, but a major player.
Mm-hmm.
Because my objective was, is I wanted witchcraft to be seen, known, and accepted
mm-hmm.
as part of a fantastic heritage
mm-hmm.
that belongs to an ancient people, which has carried itself down through thousands of years
mm-hmm.
through blood, through lineage, through the spirit alone,
mm-hmm.
And has survived despite all of the persecutions, not just like the burning times of the Middle Ages, but the persecutions where the Romans destroyed thousands of people.
Especially on Anglesey.
On Anglesey. Yeah. But they did this all the way through the Netherlands, all the way through Germany, everywhere. Like, people who were considered of a magical being or practice came under persecution.
Mm.
And this has gone on for thousands and thousands of years. There's nothing new about it. But there comes a turning point, I think, where I recognised in the 80s that this was the turning point,
mm-hmm.
that there it was going to change. There was going to be a massive... it was going to open up. And so I'm really, really happy that actually at that time was to be a part of it. And that's how the Dolmen took the name of Dolmen, because the Dolmen stone is known throughout the world. You find Dolmen stones everywhere as a meeting place, a gathering place, a burial place, a place of worship, mm-hmm. a place of ritual, ceremony.
And not just within the Celtic. I think a lot of people feel that things like the dolmens, menhirs are sort of Celtic. They go way, way, way back, far, you know, a couple of millennia. You know, I think people have this kind of idea that it was the Celts, where in Europe, of course, there were many, 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 many clans and tribes. So I understand when you talked about the Romani, that you're actually talking about a nomadic tribe, which I think for a lot of people is still very difficult to figure out, because they had to be hidden. Like you said, there were persecutions, or at least being ridiculed. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Life would be... if you declared yourself a witch, then you knew you were going to undergo the punishment for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, they can't burn you, but they can make... People can make your life a misery.
Even today, I was just saying to a couple of people, I mean, I've just come back from Canada, from the Parliament of World Religions. It is only now, after three or four parliaments, that the pagan community and witches and various indigenous people are beginning to be taken seriously. And it's almost like they're talking about women's equality, but we had that. And many of the things that people are fighting for, we've said, well, we already had that. And when I was reading your notes, again, these qualities which you already said as well, which we've already had. So how do you feel now when... Christians or Muslims are beginning to actually realise that we may actually be a force to be reckoned with? How do you cope with it now?
I'm happy about that, because it's what we fought for, and that's what we continue to fight for. There's a long journey ahead.
Mm.
It is a long journey ahead, because as my mother always said to me, those burning times never stop.
Mm.
They never stop, they just change face.
Yeah.
And it's nice that, like, sort of it's been accepted, but it's like sort of been accepted on sort of particular grounds, like, and conditions of things. I'm happy about that. It's, you know, it doesn't do us any harm at all to have this recognition. Where it's going to go, I'm not quite sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like how it's going to develop. Keep it in mind that witchcraft is still very, very outlawed in many countries.
I don't go into these interfaith meetings saying, hello, I'm a witch. because most of people still don't understand what the lecture means.
It was easier to promote paganism, and through paganism, witchcraft could grow with inside and with underneath the pagan banner. And so we spent a lot of time during the 90s really, really pushing paganism in the UK and working together with a lot of good people over there. A good friend and colleague who I found to become a fantastic advisor was a guy, is a guy called Professor Ronald Hutton.
Oh, right, yeah.
And he's
very
a great
well
guy.
Known, absolutely, yeah.
And he's actually a member of the Clan Dolmen. Like, he's an initiated member. And which I had a great honour of actually initiating him myself.
Okay.
And that was, and he's been a great advisor. And obviously, he's a leading authority in witchcraft. And so this has kind of sort of been fantastic, the way that he's worked and he's pushed things forward from that academic point of view. And that's what had to happen.
Yes.
We had to have, like, that sort of, like, some heavyweight people to sort of come in there and put this, you know...
From my point of view, I've had this as well, because I've been in academic conferences, but of course I'm only a practitioner because I haven't got, you know, a degree in pagan studies, because we didn't have it then. So it's good to be recognised by the academic world, because it gives some credence to certain things which you've been practicing for many, many thousands of years. Just coming back now, you've recently made a new CD. Would you like to, or an album? Do you call them CDs? Still call them LPs. Anyway, but tell us a little bit about the new album then.
The album is called Witches and Cunning Folk, which is dedicated to it. And we also set up a witches and cunning folk camp here in the Netherlands.
Was it in the summer?
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, I remember I was probably away, yeah.
And it's booked to go again for next year, so...
And what's the date for next year?
I think it's around the 17th of May.
17th
of May, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, round about Beltane time. Yeah, great.
That's very much that's dedicated to the lineage, to the bloodline. It also introduces something which is probably not greatly thought of or known about. People do know about it, but it's not greatly known about it. And so we're also promoting this point that in human DNA, you're going to find many different species. Can then sort of give reason as well to this beautiful imagination that human beings have. If you actually look at human DNA and look at the combination of various humanoid species that make up a human being today, we are in fact a hybrid. That's what we are, walking hybrid. We are carriers of ancient DNA.
Absolutely.
And some of that ancient DNA, it would be quite beautiful to find, and we hope that this will actually be discovered at some point, is that there will turn out to be a race which can be connected to witches and cunning folk. Because witches and cunning folk, if it like, so, you know, with witches all over the world have a similarity. They have something they connect, and it's not a religious thing. It's a way of life. I'm not a religious person at all. But my witchcraft is a way of life. It's I don't do one particular thing that makes me a witch. I just am a witch.
I understand.
I practice that sort of, and this is my whole state of thinking, my conscious perception of what's going on around me. And cunning folk very much the same thing and very, very connected,
mm-hmm.
which is why during the burning times they hit the witches and they go, oh, what about these cunning folk as well? Well, they're the same, bang them as well. And so they never got off with it because they suddenly realised that they like the deep root connection.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a DNA within us that knowingly, consciously or unconsciously, we are focusing on it, at birth or even at times of our life, it can switch on. And they're actually proving this now, that like sort of with this mixture of different DNA within a human body, you can focus on to different things, and which can bring forth it can determine where you are, what sort of individual, how you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that this is exactly what will eventually be found with witches. Mm-hmm. When you find witches, not someone who picks up a religion, but someone who knows
mm-hmm.
exactly what they are.
Mm-hmm.
I've always known it. The fact that I had like sort of parents always involved, but my parents were not religious in like sort of it wasn't any of their religion or anything like that which made them witches.
Mm.
It was the very fact of how they think and what they did.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It's it reminds me of when I first became involved with Wicca, and right from the beginning, it's always been an oral tradition. And despite the fact that many people put so much importance on the Book of Shadows, I keep saying, that's not what it's all about. It's something organic, and it's something which we can only pass on orally. Because if you listen carefully, then you'll understand. But so many people I've found now are pushing towards this. It has to be written down. It has to be done so. And there's a huge problem arising now where people, you know, pointing the finger, saying you're not doing it right. You're not doing it right.
This is something which I'm very much against, because what I like people, I believe that people are unique, authentic individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Find your own way in your spiritual world, whether it be witchcraft, cunning folk, or whatever it is which you go. But take away the in-between people. I mean, in a clan dolmen, there is no hierarchy, and like don't get me wrong, even though that I may be doing the rituals that I do in the ceremonies, that's because I've got a really, really big, loud mouth. And I spent my entire life doing this sort of thing. And all I do is I facilitate.
Exactly.
I facilitate. Exactly. There's nothing like sort of, I'm no different, no special, nothing that, I'm exactly the same as every other person. I'm no higher and I'm no lower. You know, I just am. And a lot of questions that we get these days where, and we live in a real a technological world which is so advanced that our human consciousness can't even keep up with it. I mean, mine can't even keep up with like sort of modern day technology. I'm rubbish. But we can't keep up with it, and yet, like sort of, I've sat down in conversations with scientists. I won't go into names and things, but like, and they've asked me to explain these things and what I'm believing and what are these things that happen. And I always have come back to the same thing: how can I explain something that in your world cannot exist?
Yeah.
And you can't do it. So I don't actually seek to explain anything of the magic to people. They can find it. They can practice it. But I will never explain to them. Because it's something that we must all get our own understanding of.
Absolutely, yeah.
And
yeah.
To believe in magic, as I say to people, if you believe in magic, well then perhaps magic will one day believe in you. And these things will be. You know, we're a long way from Harry Potter, which I think was absolutely wonderful films, and one of the things I think the writer, I think she did an immense job, because you know, so what she did for that one story, she opened up the whole idea of witchcraft to all those children that had been tabooed with it.
Right. Yeah.
And it was one of the most wonderful ways of doing it. She did more in a course of like sort of 10 years. What many people like me had actually tried to do over a lifetime.
Mind you, it's again, you've got just a couple of people, but I found you keep mentioning the beginning of the 80s. Well, I was initiated in 79, and that seemed to be a real turning point as well. Margaret Adler wrote Drawing Down the Moon, the book which looked at many pagan groups in America, and it really does seem the beginning of the 80s was almost like a magical turning point, where many of us who, like yourself, the baby boomers, we were travelling, and the music was so important. You know, whether we look at the hippie stuff or whatever, but I was a great fan of an incredible string band, I'm sure. So it was, I think it was again the English love of music, because that's always been the way that we've passed on information, whether it's been hidden or not. Nursery rhymes, music, and I think that tradition actually still continues.
I totally agree with you, because not just because I'm a musician, but I do believe that music can bring about a message to people. It has done, and it will continue to. I mean, it's one of our oldest traditions, going right the way back through the ancient file or the bards of the traditions.
Yeah.
And I think, and also, it gives an audience a chance as well. An audience, when people are delivering information from the stage in atmosphere or in lyrics, I believe in them. I believe all the time in an audience. I believe in a Dolman audience. I believe in them because I know, they can see through it all. They can see, people can't fool them. An audience these days, you can't fool them. You are either coming at it straight, and I like that, and I like that with music, and I like the way that it goes now, that there's no airs and graces, there's no hierarchy to the way of bringing things across.
Exactly.
Bring it all on a level, and let us all enjoy it together.
Well, this is the whole thing, and again, it doesn't matter. Music is like connection. You don't have to understand the language, because the language is the music itself. So I think for me that's been really so important, traveling, whether I go to Eastern Europe or especially in Eastern Europe, where the music is still such a live commodity. If you want to talk like a commodity, because I think time's a great commodity, but the time we spend playing music and whether it's chanting or whether it'll become ecstatic, I think this is the one thing that we can all share without any judgmental stuff. It's not, this is not right. So I think, the idea of you being with the Dolman and then having this whole idea of, the philosophy behind it is absolutely fantastic. So I really hope, I'm going to start bringing this interview to an end by actually congratulating you on coming to this conclusion of wanting to further your own experiences by saying, I'd like to continue. So tell me a little bit more about what's happening in the Netherlands in May 2019. What's your aim with the camp?
How can we
sign up? This is the main thing.
The camp is, when we had the first one this year, it was amazing. And because we had no idea on how it was going to turn out. Many people who actually attended it, I spoke privately with me afterwards and talked about their own witchcraft and their own spiritualities and what they got, and they've never been able to say these things. This non-hierarchical clan, where it's everyone to find their own spiritual way, they find that they could do this. So there will be rituals that were actually practiced there. There's talks there which they're not quite like sort of like the everyday talk of which many pagan conferences will produce, but there are talks which are very informative, and there's workshops which do take people into sort of journeys and explores various paths as well. But the main thing of it is to allow people to be who they are, that unique, authentic individual with their own idea and their own sort of reach to that spiritual world. And to, if you can't tell someone, like I said, like sort of how to do magic as a spray, but you can help build a road, build a road which actually allows people to have the freedom to be able to do it without feeling like that they've done something wrong or whatever. And as I always say, as long as people be nice, always be nice,
be
like
kind.
I mean, that's it. And the, you know, the darkness, like I mean, we have to shut behind us all the time, and we have to keep on doing that. And it's a very conscious thing in this world, in this time. And so at the Witches and Cunning Folk, it is dedicated to witches and cunning folk. It's not commercial to the sense of like, for me, I wouldn't care if there was only five people on the field. If it's the right five people, then like sort of, then it's a success.
Yes, yeah.
You know, because it's not about numbers, or it's not about how many tickets we can sell. There's like sort of, we the one that happened, we lost money on, but it doesn't matter, because that's what the dolmen is. You know, that's what the dolmen does. Like, it's sort of, it matters in the sense that we'd rather not, we'd rather it break even, but we'd rather do this and make something work.
This is something that people, we do have to be able to travel and have money. So I say sometimes, you know, it's, we don't want to be, because I like sharing things freely, but it, sometimes have to have the to get over here or to eat. Let's put it that way, we have to eat. But anyway, I'd like to just round off by wishing you all the success in this evening as well, and hope to see you in May.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, anyway, it's been absolutely fantastic actually talking to you. I've been seeing you as the dolmen for years and years, never actually had a proper talk, so it was wonderful when Manu suggested that we get together and I say talking
good.
A bit more about your own views, but also your own dreams, so I hope they will be able to be fulfilled as well. So thank
that's
you very
brilliant.
Much thank
oh,
you
thank you
yeah, you're welcome
kind, thank you.